Likutei Halachos, Chosh Mishpat, Sheni, Hilchos Matana. We're up to the Hilchos Matnas Shchiv Meira, the laws of gifts that are given by a person on his deathbed, and what's required, what kind of kinyan is required or not required, and why. First halacha on this subject is included in Hilchos Matana Halacha Aleph. Hilchos Matnas Shchiv Meira Halacha Aleph is Bilchas Matana Haloch Aleph. If we look back at Hilchas Matana Haloch Aleph, over there he discussed the topic of a person who's about to pass away giving a gift, and what rules apply, what rules don't. So therefore, what we're going to discuss now is considered the second time that he's discussing this topic of a gift being given by a person on his deathbed. The Shulchan Aruch says, Matnas Shchiv Meira Einoi Tzorech Kinyan, that when a person on his deathbed wants to give away something to someone, if he wants to tell somebody if he should want to give a gift of a cart or anything like that, Einoi Tzorech Kinyan, it becomes that person's possession the moment the Shchiv Meira dies, despite the fact that the person hasn't made an actual kinyan of Hagbo or Meshicha, picking the item up or anything like that. Ve'im Omad, and if the Shchiv Meira recovers from his illness, Choyzer, if the Shchiv Meira recovers, then he's allowed to pull back. He's allowed to, you know, say that I take back what the gift that I gave you, etc., etc. Now, as far as I know, this applies only if he decides to take it back completely. If he decides to take back half, that he can't do. Then there'll be a kinyan required on the other half or something like that. You understand? The way Matnas Shchiv Meira works is, number one, it doesn't require a kinyan at all. And despite the fact that it was said, he has the right to retract it if he recovers from his illness. Let's go into the Likutei Halachos now. We said he's in his deathbed. And he lives another 3 weeks in that deathbed. 3 weeks before he died, he said, I hereby declare that I'm giving you my watch, I'm giving you this, I'm giving you this. The question is, in terms of exactly at which moment it becomes theirs, I'm not sure. We'll see. We'll see if it's discussed here. But there's a lot of halachas related to that, in terms of whether it becomes theirs at the moment of death or the moment that he said it, despite the fact that there wasn't a kinyan made. That's the point here. The point here is that you don't need a physical kinyan, which is what you usually need in other cases. Rav Nosson Zal says, Al pi hamaymar hamaschil vihino pi shnayim barucha cha'ilai. This halacha, Likutei Halachos, is going to be based on the chapter on Likutei Moran, Simen Samach Vov, chapter 66, in the first half of Likutei Moran, which is based on this pasuk, a pasuk in Novi. Ayin shom hamaymar hetev. Review that chapter on Likutei Moran well to serve as a solid introduction to this halacha. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to give it to us in brief. The haklal, the general outcome of that chapter on Likutei Moran is bekitzer, in short, ki yesh ruach le'ela, ruach le'sato. Rabbeinu Zal proves this from the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh says on the pasuk ele toildois noyach, noyach ish tzadik. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why does it repeat Noyach twice? This is to teach us that a tzaddik has a double ruach. He has a ruach in heaven and a ruach below on earth that he lives with. And Rabbeinu Zal says, when it comes time for a tzaddik to pass away, how does this passing away happen? What happens is this ruach from above goes downstairs, comes to earth, and meets and merges with this ruach de l'sato. And the Ruach Delayla can't stay on earth. So it's rushing to get out. As soon as the two become attached, it pulls the Ruach Delasata back up to heaven with it, and that's how the tzaddik passes away. Which means that for a certain short period of time, the tzaddik has a double Ruach. He has two Ruachs, which is more than he had during his lifetime. While he was physically living, he only had one ruach with him that he was walking around with on earth. The other ruach was walking around in Gan Eden. It was somewhere else. When it comes time to pass away, the two ruachs merge. And Rabbeinu Zal explains this is how it was possible for Elisha Novi to make a request from his rabbi, Eliyahu Novi, could I please have double your power? And Eliyahu Novi's response to him was, if you will see me being taken from you, then you'll know you received double my power. Because if a Talmud is zeichet to be present at the time that the tzaddik is nistalek, at that time the tzaddik has this double ruach, and the Talmud can receive a he'ora, a shefa that comes from that double ruach, that double power of the tzaddik. U'bishas ha'histalkus, nis'achtim v'nis'chabrin yachad. During the time that the tzaddik is about to pass away, these two ruchos become united and attached, v'ydezeh nistalek, and that's how the tzaddik passes away. V'ydezeh bi'atzmoy, nimshach b'chinas pishnayim l'talmidov. And that's how it's possible for his students, who are present at the time of his passing away, to receive double the power of the rabbi. The Gemara says that Eliyahu Hanavi only brought one person back to life, whereas Elisha Hanavi brought two people back to life. This implied a concept of a double power. Ayin Shom, look in the Kutimran over there, where this is discussed in detail. Next, Ushtei Ruchois Halolu, these two Ruchois that the Tzaddik has, Heim Bechinas Koyach Upoyal, they represent the concept of theory and action. Yad Yamin, Fiat Smoil, the right hand and the left hand. Yud Shel Shem Hoetzem, the Yud Shel Shem Hakinoi. They represent the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the Yud of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the Yud that's all the way at the end of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Shebetchilo Heim Nikshorim Yachad, Hakoyach Vapoyal. Rabbi Nizal explains, in the beginning, Koyach and Poyal are one. When a person comes up with an idea to build a house, at that moment that they first start thinking about it, planning it, the Koyach and the Poyal are one in the person's mind. The person conjures up a picture in their mind of what they want this house to look like. They want it to be three floors, and they want a bathroom on each floor, and this and that. They paint the picture in their mind, and that picture is the soif masa. The picture that they have in their mind is the end result of what this thing is going to look like when it's complete. Despite the fact that this is literally the beginning of the planning process. His first thought of regarding the building of a house is its final appearance, what it's going to look like when it's completed. So at that stage, the Seif Maishse is B'machshava Tchila, is his original thought. And at that stage, Koyach and Poyal are one. He hasn't gone ahead to do any physical activity yet in building, so the action and the thought at this point are one and the same. Ki soif maise b'machshava tchila. Rabbi Nizal explains over there that we know that the first thought that a person has about something is generally what it's going to appear like in its final form. V'zeh b'chinas koydem abriya. This is also the concept of before creation, when the creation was only in Hashem's mind, kaviyochel, it was only bekoyach, when the koyach and poyal were one. However, once the person starts fulfilling the project, niftochin, the things open up, koyach and poyal open up, bechinas poiseach es yodecho. We say poiseach es yodecho, the Gemara says, al tikri yodecho, Elo Yudecho, that Kaviyochel Hashem opens up the two Yuds, the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the Yud of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and Hashem spreads them out, and in between you have Hey Vav Hey, Aleph Dalet Nun, and that's where all the production takes place. Rabbi Nizal explains in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that the three additional letters in each one of those two names of Hashem correspond to Mokoyim, Zman, and Tziur. Anything that's going to take any form or shape in this world has to be functioning within these three items: space, time, and shape, format, form of some sort. So you have Mokon, Tzir, and Zman in Machshava, and you have mokon, tzir, and zman in maise, in the action. And these all come from these two names of Hashem. The name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is a name which we can't pronounce. We're not allowed to pronounce it in this world. So that name of Hashem is Bekoyach. It's only in thought. We can only think it in a sense. We can't put it into action. The name of Hashem, Aleph Daled Nun Yud, that's the name that we are allowed to verbalize. We do say it. That's the name of Hashem of Maiseh. And these two names of Hashem represent Koyach and Poyal. It begins with Yud and ends with Yud, showing Soif Maiseh b'machshavot chila, that the beginning of thought, when a person thinks of a wedding, you know, they think of the hall with the band, with the music, with the dress, they think of the finished product. They don't think of starting to go out and buy material to sew the dress. You know, their first image in their mind is the same as the final product. You understand? The Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei is the same as the Yud of Aleph Talat Nun Yud. It's that Soif Maiseh b'machshavot chila. This concept of the hands being tied can't do, whereas when the hands are open, you can do. The first pasuk in Chumash, Bereishis Bara Elokim and Hashamayim V'Haaretz, has exactly 28 letters corresponding to twice Yad, the two Yodayim with which a builder builds. Kaviyochel Hashem says, Af Yodi Yosta Oretz V'Mini Tovcho Shamayim. My left hand established the earth, and my right hand establish the heavens. This concept of the two hands. Now, what Chaim just pointed out is the last letters of Poiseach Es Yodecho make up the name of the angel who is appointed over Parnosa. His name is spelled Ches Tof Chof, which means in Hebrew to cut. This concept of the cut that's made between the right hand and the left hand, between Koyach and Poyal, which Rabbeinu Zal discusses in that chapter, Mikutarani discusses it, that it's only when you slice them apart, that's when action starts happening. Certain people who never make that cut, they think up all kinds of good plans, and they're never able to be moitzit mikoyach lapoyel. Why? Because they don't know how to make the break between thinking too much and starting to do. This angel, Ches Tov Chof, is bigimatria twice ruach. The word ruach is 214, twice Ruach is 428, which is this angel. This Rabbeinu Zal says, Nat Torah Likutiman, because this angel is Marames to these two Ruchos. This Ruach, the Leila Ruch, the Lasato, this Yud Kei Vav Kei Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, these two hands. Very deep shir. And on it, there's about 15 chapters of Likutei Halachos that explain it. We're going to have a lot of insights into that term. That term Likutiman is a foundation for a lot of different things. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Study this in that chapter in the Likutei Moran well. Rabbeinu Zal says over there in addition, Ulohoitzi Mikoyach El HaPoyal. If a person wants to be able to make things happen, not just to think and plan and nothing should come from their plans, but to make things happen, Ho'ikar Hu'alidei Emes. The main ingredient they need is honesty, truth. And Rabbeinu Zal explains this over there in that chapter in Likutei Moran. Ve'ikar ho'emes hu kishe'ein nitzrach lebriyos. The only way that a person could really be honest is if they're not dependent on people. If a person needs people, they need people to laugh at their jokes, or they need people to give them kavod, or they need people to give them parnosa, then they can't be their true selves, because they're going to customize themselves for the people, to what will appear good, what my boss likes, how my boss wants to see this done, or what kind of joke the people want to hear, rather than what I really am feeling, what I'm really thinking, that kind of thing. So Rabbeinu Zal says, the Ikar Emes is when a person is zoche not to need people for anything. I don't have to come on to anybody for anything. I'm my own independent person. That's when I can be really truthful. Ki hatzorech lebriyos ponov mishtanin kikrum. Because the Gemara says, when a person has to come on to people, this is talking about when a person is really in need of money, let's say, and they have to come on to people, their face changes colors like the feathers of a peacock. Meaning it's very embarrassing and insulting when you feel you have to come on to people. But the Gemara uses the word ponov nishtanin. His face changes. Meaning he can't keep his true face. He's got to play up to the person. Oh, you're such a wonderful person. I'm sure you're going to help. All of this baloney that goes on in fundraising or in collecting charity, where the person isn't able to talk to the other guy with real total honesty in most cases. Dehainu she'ein ho'emes b'shleimus. It's referring to a concept where the emes is not b'shleimus. Ayin shom, look over there in that chapter in the Kutimran where this is elaborated on. V'chol ha'mitzvois v'averois kluyim bozeh. The whole ability to do mitzvah and avera is dependent on this concept, b'bechinas hispatchus hayodayim elu, the ability to open the hands, where the hands are not tied and you're able to do, you're able to translate koyach into poyach. Again, in that chapter on the Kutim Ran, this is explained in a lot of detail and a lot of information about it. We're going to try to use the minimum understanding that we have of this to apply it to this halacha nikuti halachas that Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. The zeh bechinas kinyan sudor. This is the concept of the most often used kinyan, which is called kinyan sudor, where the person takes out his handkerchief and says, "You know what? Pick up this handkerchief, like the rabbi does by mechiras chametz. Hold this, you know, by taking hold of it, you know, or at a wedding they do it on the ksuba." And very often in business, people that do business religiously, not the way by secular standards, but by religious standards, this kinyan sudor is one of the most popular kinyonim. She'ef shel ligmor hamekach, it's impossible to consummate a purchase, umakolshkein matnas bori, and certainly not the gift of a healthy person. If a healthy person wants to give you a gift, it doesn't become yours, kiyim alidei kinyan, unless a kinyan is made. V'roiv ha-kinyonim heim kinyan sudor. And one of the most popular kinyonim is this kinyan sudor, and Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain how it works physically and how it works spiritually. Ki I efshir ligmar ha-mekach v'shum dovor kiyim alidei b'chinas moitzi mikoyach ha-lapoyal. It's impossible to complete a transaction or anything in this world unless you know how to change from theory into action, from thought into maaser. Sheze ikra avoidosenu boze hoilom. This is a Jew's main avoid in this world. This world is called oilam hoasiya, the world of action. This isn't a world to walk around thinking and planning. You got to do. It's a time for doing. V'chol hamitzvois v'asiyos shelano boze hoilom. All of our mitzvahs and all of our activities in this world are in the format of taking something from thought to action. The Gemara says mitzvah tzrichos kavono, that there is a concept of thought in mitzvah. You got to know what you're doing. You have to have the intent to do the mitzvah. But also mitzvah involves action, whether it's saying something or doing something, you know, that kind of thing. Ki be'emes because the fact is, despite the fact that Hashem has created everything, heaven and earth and everything in it, still, it's all incomplete and it's all dependent on Bnei Yisrael. We are the ones who are responsible every single day to reactivate the world, reinitialize it, and to bring Hashem's creation from thought into action, through our doing of mitzvos and good deeds. The bechinas, as we say in our tefillah every day, hamechadesh betuvoi bechol yoim tamid maase bereishis, that Hashem reactivates and recreates with his toiv maase bereishis. And what is toiv? Rav Nosson Zal says ein toiv elo tzadik. We know that toiv is a code name sometimes for the tzadik. There's a pasuk imru tzadik ki toiv. So we see that the tzaddik is called toiv. Dahainu klal Yisrael. When we use the term tzaddik here, we're referring to every single Jew. Shenikroim kulam tzaddikim. The entire Jewish people are called tzaddikim. Kama shekosuv v'amech Yisrael kulam tzaddikim. The pasuk says that, which means ki al yodom Hashem Yisborach mechadesh b'chol yoyim tamid maase bereishis. It's through Bnei Yisrael that Hashem recreates and reinitializes and reactivates creation every single day. Ki afal pi shekvar bor Hashem Yisborach es kol ha'olam, because even though Hashem already created the whole world, afal pi kein kol ha'olam kulay tzorech tikun ubirur kayadua, the world is one big mess, and it needs a lot of fixing and a lot of birur, purification. Number one, to be able to fix up the world and straighten it out from the mess that it got itself into when Adam Rishon ate from Yetzadas. Therefore, we have a responsibility to renew the world every single day. And literally, to take the world from a state of thought to a state of action, creation, every single day, in order to renew it and fix it and purify it. This is the main concept behind a Jew's purpose in this world. Our purpose is to be moitzi mikoyach al apoyal, to make a tikkun for the world, which involves redoing the world from new every single day. Now, lahavdil, those that worked in computers know that in many places, today you have computer rooms that are open 24 hours a day, but those places where they don't have to be open 24 hours a day, when they finish the day's work, they shut down the computer, and it involves involves giving the computer certain instructions to get it to shut down, keying in certain information to shut it down, because you want to retain certain data, etc. And it involves certain physical mysim, pressing certain buttons which turn off the power from each one of these 15 components. Now, the next day when you come in, there's the concept of reinitialization. You have to reinitialize certain things. You got to reset the clock, you got to reset the time, and on many computers, literally, you have to why reset the time? Why isn't the fact that I set the time yesterday good? Because in order to shut this thing down properly, you got to shut it down completely, ad kidei kach, that you reinitialize the time. Now, interestingly, sometimes when a mistake is made, let's say you have a bank that produces statements, monthly statements, and they find out that a programmer, they made certain changes to their monthly statement and they thought everything was perfect, and they start running it at the end of the month and they find out, oops, there was a mistake, the guy made a mistake in programming it. So what do? They end up redoing the job 2 days later, 2 days after month end. But the statement has to have June 30th date on it. So what do? They fake out, they type into the computer that today's June 30th when it's really July 2nd. There is such a metzias of reinitializing time and everything in order to do a certain production. We need to do month-end production, and month-end production has to be on month-end. Now, what if it's not on month-end? What if I'm doing it 2 days later? What if I'm doing it 4,000 years later? What if the tikkun that Adam HaRishon was supposed to make on the day that he was born, we're doing it 5,790? The answer is we have to be able to bring the world, there has to be the ability to bring the world back to zero and start from scratch, in a sense, every single day in order for certain tikkunim to be accomplished. It can't be the 5,000th day of creation. It's got to be, today has to be literally like a day one. Rav Moshe Zal here is informing us that this is done. This is what's actually being done. And it's impossible to do this, to renew the world, to reinitialize the world. And to literally bring it brand new, as if for the first time, from thought into action. The only way you could do it is you have to be able to bring back together Maisa and Machshava. Because we said that, let's say a guy decides to build a house for himself. His first action is to conjure up a picture in his mind of this three-floor villa with the garden outside, with the sprinklers, with the dog running around in the garden, you know, the whole thing. Then, Then he has to first make call up and go searching for an architect and searching for a kablan and make blueprints and the whole thing. Now, as the project goes on, for months, you know, weeks, he gets further and further away from that original thought that he had, and it starts coming into Maisa. If he ever wants to go back to the beginning, he has to be able to squish the whole thing back and bring it back to bring Koyach and Poel back to stage one to be able to start over again. If for whatever reason he should decide to start over again, why? Suddenly the neighborhood turns black and he decides he doesn't want to be in that neighborhood. And in that city, the construction of a house, it required it being made from wood and this and that. Suddenly he decides, Lahavdil, to make Aliyah Teretz Yisrael. He's got the same plan to build a house for himself, but it's 1,000,000,000% different than the image of a house that he had conjured up that he intended to have in Brooklyn, New York, Lahavdil, or in some other place. You understand? So Rav Nosson Zal says, in order to be able to make this tikkun, you have to be able to fold up and squish the maisa, which became distant from the original machshava by so many days or weeks or months or actions. You got to be able to fold it back together. Ukishechoizer hapoyal el hakoyach, and when the action returns back to the original thought, meaning again, if you built anything, you bust it down and make zero. You understand? You take down whatever you built. Dahainu shechoizer kol hoylam kuloi v'nichlal b'sharoshoi be'ein soif kaviyochol. When the whole world is able to return and be merged back into Hashem's infiniteness, azay choizrin umoitzin michodosh kol oylam mikoyach alapoyel, then it's possible to start this process from scratch again and start bringing forth action coming from thought. Vazay neschadesh venezbarer venestakin al yidezer, and then it's possible to make a new tikkun, a new birur, a new chiddush. Kize ikur habirur vahatikun kishemalin lisharoshoy v'shom nischadesh v'nistakin kiyodua. Because that's the main tikkun. The main tikkun isn't when you make a little adjustment to the project. The main tikkun, when a project is going bad, the main tikkun is you got to be able to go all the way back to the initial concept and redo the initial concept, and there be able, and start from there, then it's possible to make a complete tikkun. Because there are many cases where a person starts a certain project and somewhere in the middle they realize it was wrong totally, but that because they've gone this far, they can't go back to the beginning, so we'll have to do it 80%, we'll have to do it 70%, we'll have to do it as good as it can be. But in order to make a 100% tikkun, that in many cases requires literally being able to go all the way back to the beginning and redo the initial concept and start from there again. And then do it 100% right. Because many of the problems that we have in our apartments and other is because the guy realized somewhere in the middle that something was wrong and he wasn't willing to go through the effort and the cost and everything of going back to the drawing board and redoing it over there. So they made some kind of a temporary fix of this or that. And that's why the world looks as messed up as it is. That's why things are so messed up. V'ze iker tikkun hatfilo v'tzitzis utfilin. This is the main tikkun that a Jew accomplishes every single day with some of the mitzvahs that he does. We explained once before that when a Jew starts Shachris, when he says Korbanos, or when he goes to the bathroom in the morning, the physical act of going to the bathroom, that's the climb where a person's going from the Olam Ho'asiyah to the Olam HaYetzirah. That's the tikkun for Asiyah and bringing yourself up to the second floor, Yetzirah. Umeyetzirah Labriyah, then when the person puts on tzitzis, they're making the tikkun for the Olam HaYetzirah, or when they say Psukei Dezimra, that's the tikkun for the Olam HaYetzirah. And then, when the person puts on Tfilin Shel Yad, that's the tikkun for the Olam HaBriyah. And when the person says the Shema and its Brachos, that's the tikkun for Briyah. There's always, the tikkun is on two levels, in speech and in action, as we learned earlier. And then, when the person davens Shmon Esrei, through the physical action of putting on the Tfilin Shel Roish, That's the tikkun for the olam ha'atzilus. Al yidei tzitzis utfilin shel yad kiyodua, as is known in the writings of the Arizal, how this tikkun takes place every single day, where we start from the ground floor, we work our way up to the top. V'achar kach kishemalin hakoil l'sharoshei batzilus, and then afterwards, when a person gets to Shmon Esrei, or after the person has put on tefillin shel roish, where he's on the roof, he's all the way on top, shehu tefilas yudches, which is the tefillah of Shmon Esrei, azay achar kach choizrin umamshichin klolios hoilamos me'elo l'sata. Then what the person does is, he starts going down, climbing back down, from Atzilus to Bria, Bria to Yitzira, and Yitzira to Asiya. That's the remaining portion of the davening. Al yidei Ashreyu volitzion and Nefilas Apayim, and that whole Ein Kelekenu, all of that represents climbing back down. V'zeh, so Rav Nosson Zal showing that, note, first you have to go up to the top, to Atzilus, which is Tchilas HaMachshava, and then be able to come down from there in order to affect the tikkun.